Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Notre Dame fans, whenever you are listening or watching today's show. Just really appreciate you guys for making us a part of your day here at Blue and Gold. I'm Mike Singer, and my co-host is my sidekick, Kyle Kelly, talking some Notre Dame football recruiting on a Friday, a good Friday, as Lotus mentions. Happy Good Friday. I don't really know what to say, but good Friday it is. Good Friday it is. Hello, Devin. Good to see you. Michael's in the chat as well. Hope everyone is doing well. Kyle, I trust that you are doing well, my friend.
Yes, sir. Just preparing for a big day on Saturday. Hopefully a nice, easy Easter Sunday. And Notre Dame's keeping us plenty busy this month.
What's busy for you tomorrow?
Well, we have a commitment date, so we always got to be prepared for that. Anthony Sacca, the four-star linebacker out of Philadelphia St. Joe's Prep. Big-time Notre Dame target set to come off the board.
Okay. Kyle, your camera is, like, shaking. I don't know if you're pressing something, but your camera is going a little bit crazy. But, yeah, speaking of Sacca, let's talk about him. I didn't know if there was something else going on other than that. But, yeah, Sacca, a four-star linebacker from St. Joseph's Prep. Number 225 overall player, number 27 linebacker, according to the On3 industry ranking. Look, I figured we have to talk about this. I don't really know what to say. Notre Dame's been recruiting him for a really long time. He was offered by the Irish, I think, like 2 weeks after Freeman became the head coach. Like, Notre Dame had offered less than 10 players in the 2025 class. When he got the scholarship, John McNulty and Chris O'Leary, you know, were the guys recruiting him. Of course, McNulty is now what, tight ends coach, two tight ends coaches ago. And then O'Leary, you know, was recruiting him because Sacca was the safety at the time. He is announcing his commitment tomorrow. You guys, you know, I don't really know what to say. Notre Dame's considered the heavy favorite. And I will leave it at that. Kyle, do you have anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, Notre Dame certainly trending here in the On3 recruiting prediction machine. 95.6% chance of landing his commitment. But I just want to give a little bit of a context to, you know, why Notre Dame, I think, leads for him. I think pretty obviously. You bring up his top five there. Very interesting top five because Anthony Sacca is a Penn State legacy, son of Tony Sacca, the former Nittany Lions quarterback. But Penn State's linebackers class is already filled up. So they didn't make the list, but these other four schools did. To my knowledge, Sacca has never visited Wisconsin or Duke. So that kind of knocks them out of the race. Alabama, he's been to once, but I don't really see Anthony Sacca going to play his high school football down in the South. And Ohio State already has one linebacker commit, I think, and they're set to get possibly a second this week in TJ Alford. And from what I've heard, Ohio State was not ready to take Anthony Sacca. So I think that puts Notre Dame in a pretty good position to land his commitment when he announces tomorrow. And if he does end up picking the Irish, as many folks expect, I think this is a excellent pickup for Notre Dame.
Yeah, I don't agree with you about Ohio State, and Alabama, I think, is more of a contender than people realize. I think that all the schools want him pretty badly. And the Penn State thing, like, it really bothers me when Notre Dame – do you remember the Twins, Jared and Jacob Smith last cycle, the defensive linemen? Notre Dame wanted those guys for so long. And then at the last minute, Notre Dame stops recruiting on them, and then they go elsewhere, and everyone's like, Notre Dame didn't want those guys anyway. That pisses me off because, like, everyone's like, that's not a recruiting loss. We didn't even want them. Like, yeah, you wanted them for so long, and then you pull out at the last minute, and everyone's like, Who cares? We didn't want them anyways. Penn State, I don't care if their class filled up. Like, they wanted Sacco for a really long time, and they just didn't get him. So I think you're downplaying the job that Notre Dame's done here a little bit, Kyle. Just a little bit.
No, I did not mean to downplay the job Notre Dame's doing, because Al Golden has been pretty much like a staple in this recruitment ever since he got hired. I know Sacco has told you that. He's told On3's Chad Simmons that. Like, Sacco's dad and Golden, they played together all 4 years at Penn State. And it wasn't just like they were on the team together. Like, they have a really good friendship. And I think that kind of helped pave the way for, you know, Golden's relationship with Sacco, obviously, just a little bit naturally. But he's done a great job. I know Max Bolla has definitely been involved in this recruitment as a linebackers coach. So, I mean, Notre Dame's doing a tremendous job here. I just am not as concerned by the competition as if there was a Penn State, you know, publicly in his top five, or a Michigan, or one of those types of schools. I think Notre Dame matches up pretty well with the other four schools that are finalists.
It honestly is kind of a badass top five. Like, because you have, you know, like a Duke in there, but like he has an offer from, like, he's got some elite offers here. I'm sure the wrong tab here. Georgia, Michigan, USC, Florida State, Oregon, Miami. Like, the whole, the non-committable offer thing, like, I hate getting into that because, like, they offered them. Like, if we're going to go by, like, oh, was it committable or not, that's really subjective. And, yeah, like, the Jared Jacob Smith is kind of my perfect example on that. Like, Notre Dame wanted those guys for a really long time. That was, it was a good offer, you know. So with that in mind, this kid's got an elite offer list. And I love having, like, Duke and Wisconsin in there when you have Georgia and USC and all those schools. So, yeah, big fan of Anthony Sacco off the field, too. I was scrolling back in my direct messages with him, and I had first started talking to him really around January 2022. So pretty soon after I got that offer, that's, you know, that's over 2 years. I don't know if I've talked to recruit, you know, with that big of a window before. 2 years is a long time. And then, you know, when it's signing day, and then when he enrolls, you know, at a school, it'll be summer of 2025. I believe he's a summer enrollee. So that's, you know, now we're talking, you know, 3.5 years I'll have known this kid before, you know, like, as a recruit, before he gets to the school. So yeah, that'll be, I don't know. That's kind of a side note.
Real Mike, quick, Mike.
Yeah, sure.
I might have you beat there, 'cause I covered, Anthony Sacco. It looks like February of 2022, when late. I was covering Ohio State for Cleveland.com. So
We go. Kyle's Ohio State connections rearing up again.
No, I remember covering him back then because he was a safety recruit, and he was a stud. Yeah. I mean, like, you don't have the Notre Dames and Ohio States of the world offering you if you're a freshman in high school unless you're an absolute freak show. And that's what Anthony Sacco is. He made the transition to linebacker last year, and I was watching some of his film this morning just to kind of freshen up on his game, and he's a really good football player. I think Notre Dame fans will be very happy if he does end up picking the Irish tomorrow.
All right, Michael had a question here. With the looming decision of Sacco on Saturday, and Notre Dame obviously in a very good position, if Sacco does choose the Irish, does that leave one more at the end? I will probably dive into that more next week in kind of like an overview of the 2025 class. I'll look at each position, and I'm sure I'll do something about that at blueandgold.com. But my expectation would be, I don't know if you guys can hear, my cat is just going crazy in the background. Very big time operation over here. I think they would take up to 5 linebackers in the cycle, if that makes sense. So yeah, we'll see. And I think really the names to know would be Madden Farimo from California, and then the pair from IMG Academy, and Gavin Nix, who had a really good visit. We'll talk about him in a moment. And then, of course, Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng. And yeah, there's other guys as well, but there are many linebackers, but those are the three that for me that I would really mention. Noah McKell's visiting next week, I believe, another one to keep an eye on, but I think he's probably going to end up at USC. So we'll see on that one. Let's hear from our friends over at My Perfect Franchise. And we're going to ask you a few questions as we hear from our sponsor for today's show. And they are you a displaced corporate executive? Are you wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludicky can help you out. Andy's a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using Andy's expertise, he can help you find your American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So give Andy a call, put your life and career in your own hands, and best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. Give Andy a call at 404-973-9901, myperfectfranchise.net. Greg says five seems like a lot, especially when Notre Dame plays five DBs. Yeah, this is a good question. I think there's a few different things to look at with this. One, Notre Dame brought in four linebackers in the 2022 class. Burnham, Tua Halamaka, Ziegler, and Snead. Zero of those guys are inside linebackers. Zero. You bring in four, and zero of them are playing inside backer right now. Two have moved to D end, one transferred, and Snead, you know, is more of that, you know, just versatile, you know, hybrid defensive end, you know, whatever the heck Jalen Snead is these days, right? So that's a part of it. And I think Notre Dame's defense is continuing to evolve. I was talking to a recruit today who mentioned, you know, he was being looked at as like a combo backer. I'm like, I feel like I keep hearing new things. The money positions is a new thing. There's always something. So yeah, stack linebacker, Kyle, we were hearing about hybrid, all this stuff. So like different terminologies that they're using, not necessarily like new terms in football or anything, but I just think it goes to show that like, yeah, the defense is evolving. You could have of this five, I mean, like a Hulock, I feel like we could see ending up as a defensive end or Ko'okia. So, and I think it would also be a situation where if they take five, it's because you're not turning down, you know, like a Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng or Madden Farimo. It's interesting because I see this comment a lot from Greg, or like this comment that Greg is posting. I see this a lot about the linebackers. Tim talks about this on our Wednesday show. He's like, why is Notre Dame taking so many linebackers when, you know, they only play two on the field? I'm like, this is the only time I ever see this. This is it. At every other position, it's like, take as many as you can. Let's, you know, let's take 18 offensive tackles, even though you can only play two. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a situation where they're just going to be taking too many, like, just too. It's too many good football players. That's not really a problem there, is it? So that's kind of my thoughts on that. If you had anything to add, Kyle.
Yeah, I was starting to kind of think about this last night.
As one does.
As how the linebackers class could come together. But the reason I'm not concerned with a bigger defensive class in the 25 cycle, because Notre Dame's probably going to lose a lot of guys on defense after the season. Now, ironically, linebacker is the youngest group on the defense, but I mean, you think about Clarence Lewis, Benjamin Morrison, Xavier Watts, Rod Hurd, Riley Mills, Howard Cross, RJ Oben, like all those guys, they're going to be gone. There's naturally going to be guys that are going to transfer out. Yeah, there'll be some that transfers in. But I know this is something that you reported on probably about a month ago now, but you know, you did some reporting after talking to some people at Notre Dame, and basically their stance was, if our recruiting class is bigger, so be it. That just means we'll take less transfers. You know, obviously it's got to be the right guys in the recruiting class. Like, they're not just going to take guys to take guys. But if you got a Madden Faremo or Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng, like you said, those guys want to come in. You know, you don't tell them no because of a numbers game. And everyone always, I think that the numbers game is always a little bit too blown out of proportion. It always ends up working itself out. So that's not too big of a concern when you start to dive into it a little bit deeper.
Greg adds, I think Notre Dame needs more players at safety, which seems even thin with it. Like, someone was messaging or commenting on the message board this week about, like, how can you criticize the coaching staff when they know much more than you guys? I'm like, I get that point, but at some like these guys are not infallible, you know, like they make mistakes, and sometimes, like, I was never like the biggest like Tyler Buchner fan. Goolsby was. And does that make me smarter than Goolsby? No. But I will say, when it comes to roster management, like, this seems, they know what they're doing. They have a plan. Like, that, this is one where, like, roster management, scholarship numbers, like, when Notre Dame's at 90 scholarships, everyone's losing their mind. Like, guys, they're going to get to 85. It's going to be fine. Like, they know what they're doing. So roster management's one thing. I would let them cook. They usually will have a pretty good plan. So, yeah.
How much longer are we going to see 85 scholarships as well? By the time some of these guys come in, that 85 number could look different the way things are trending.
Kyle, the thing about the past 12 months, all of the different things that have been going on in college football, I think that was also a thing. It's like, oh, they're going to do away with that, or it was going to increase to 100. I have no idea. Is that something new?
I don't know. I just know it's been talked about.
Okay.
That number, so it's always a possibility.
Yeah, I just can't believe we're moving to a 12-team playoff just to go to 14 before we even started 12. We're already moving to 14 in 2 years. It's fascinating. I really apologize, I've said this so many times, but Notre Dame stealing Mike Denbrock, not even being in the top 100 most interesting things that happened this offseason, is fascinating to me. Matt says, what do you think of the new, well, this is really not a recruiting question, Matt, but I like it. What do you think of the new kickoff rule in the NFL? Is that something that may come to college in a few years? I know, recruiting show. Sorry. You're good, Matt. Appreciate the $5 super chat. Have a happy Easter. You as well, my friend. I don't care. I really don't. I get it. Like, it's football. There's always been kickoff, but you know, I don't really care about the kickoff. It can go away. They can just start it at the 20 or 25 each time. If it goes well in the NFL, then I would assume it'll probably come to the college game. So, yeah, the kickoff is going to look weird. It's going to take some getting used to, but I personally don't even care if they do away with the whole damn play.
Yeah, I think what we've seen with college football recently, I don't know how many examples I can give here, but college football ends up following the NFL with, you know, a good number of the rules. Now, some have come taking longer to implement than others, such as the helmet communication. I think that's being brought to college football this year. That's been around for over a decade in the NFL, I believe. You know, obviously college football last year just stopped the stopping of the clock after first downs, which the NFL does not do. So, you know, they let the clock run. So I would not be surprised if the kickoff model in the NFL made it to college football, but I don't see that happening soon, because from what I've heard about the reporting on the NFL, the change in kickoff is they're going to let that go for a year, and then they're going to evaluate it after the first season. And I know a lot of people have compared it to the XFL model, which it's pretty comparable. I mean, that's kind of the expectation, but I think they're going to tweak it as well. But the other thing I like, it is going to make games much more exciting. I think you saw this right away. As soon as the kickoff model was introduced, the Pittsburgh Steelers went out and signed Cordarrelle Patterson, who holds the most kickoff return touchdowns out of any player in the NFL right now. So I think teams are, you know, going to really covet those kickoff returners. And don't be surprised if next year Jaden Harrison, the Notre Dame kick returner, is going to be a coveted commodity once he ends his time in college football.
Yeah, maybe Devin Hester will come out of retirement. He's like 50 now, but I'm kidding. But so is this supposed to make kickoff returns easier?
A little more exciting, yeah. I think it's because the way it was now, the touchback was pretty much the default. I mean, most of the time these guys were taking the touchback as the option, better field position. But I think this
they pushed it back too. Like I really haven't followed.
I don't know for exactly when the where they're going to place the ball on the touchback, but yeah, I think this new kickoff model encourages returns, and it's supposed to make it a little bit safer as well.
Okay, Matt, appreciate the $5 super chat. I would. My personal opinion is if it goes really well, I would see the college game adopting it like in 2025. Like if the NFL loves it, it's going great. I think that the college would change it pretty quickly. But also it's the NCAA, so who the heck knows? It's not like it's the most consistent governing body that makes a whole lot of sense. So anyways, so I wanted to move into talking about some midweek visitors. I mean, there was since last week's show, Notre Dame had that huge visit weekend. We're not going to dive into all those guys for the sake of time, but I mean, you can follow us at blueandgold.com and read all of our reporting. But I did kind of want to go through some of the midweek visitors that I thought were fairly notable. And I think all of them were for the most part. We mentioned Gavin Nix earlier. I wrote at blueandgold.com how good I was feeling about him after his visit. You're the one who talked to him though. I was just hearing that from sources, but I was curious what your vibe is right now on Gavin Nix.
Yeah, it's a tricky recruitment to read because when I talked to Gavin Nix, I pretty much asked him up front, like, do you have a leader in this recruitment now? Do you have a top group of schools? And he said, pretty confidently to me that he's not even going to start ranking schools until after he gets done with all these spring visits. So that was kind of interesting to me. I'm sure he has a top group in his head, but he did not reveal any of those to me. But what really stood out about my interview with him is he was telling me how when he met with Marcus Freeman, he told him that when he was scheduling his spring visits, Notre Dame was the first school that he wanted to see intentionally. And that was the biggest priority for him this spring, was to get to South Bend for a visit. So right there, I think that, kind of stands out pretty well. And I'll go back to, this is something I brought back up on the Loose Emoji message board earlier this week. When I talked to Gavin Nix back in September after I saw him play in Indianapolis last fall, I put on the message board, this recruitment reminds me a lot of Jalen Snead, Kingston Viliamuasa, Jay Nosberry, three guys that are all from the South, and Kingston Viliamuasa's case, Southern California, but still the South, if you want to get real technical. But, I think with the reason Osberry and Snead are a little bit different, they're right there in SEC country, as is Nix. But the big theme here was that Marcus Freeman won all those recruiting battles. And I know you brought up a few more names on the Loose Emoji message board, but I think there has been, under Marcus Freeman, one surprising linebacker commitment since he's been the defensive coordinator or head coach. And this is one that I think it could be in the 25 cycle.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So he's at IMG Academy, but a lot of kids that go to IMG come from different states. He is a Florida kid, so he's got Florida, Miami, Florida State look to be the biggest competition. I mean, this, just looking at the visits, he's reportedly visited Florida 9 times, Miami 6 times, and Florida State 5 times. And there's just Notre Dame once last spring and then once this spring, 2 trips compared to 9 9 at Florida. That's kind of wild. So I think that even with that in mind, I think Notre Dame's got a really good shot with Gavin Nix. And I'm in complete agreement with Devin here. He says I think we have a better shot with him than Nathaniel Usu-Boateng. Yeah, I think that recruitment is just very crowded and just very busy. I think Notre Dame has a better shot with him than a lot of people think, like right now. And I still like where the Irish are at with Boateng, Usu-Boateng, for what it's worth, especially after his January visits. Moving along, Brandon Finney. I don't believe we've been able to catch up with him yet. Heard his visit went well. There's discussion behind the scenes about receiver or defensive back. What does he want to play? You know, Notre Dame has been recruiting him at receiver, but my understanding now is that, you know, he's very interested in playing defensive back at the next level. So does he, you know, what does he want to play? Is Notre Dame okay recruiting at defensive back? How does that board shake out? So these are kind of the questions going on behind the scenes. But Penn State always does well at McDonough School in Maryland. But Notre Dame, I am told, is one to really keep an eye on with him. And then Raiden Vines-Bright from IMG Academy was on campus. Haven't caught up with him yet. Good visit. I don't think that Vines-Bright's going to end up at Notre Dame, though. I did, you know, when Notre Dame first started recruiting him, vibes were really high. Kyle, I know you talked to him, but I don't right now anticipate Vines-Bright. I don't know. Well, if he officially visits in the summer, like it's scheduled, I think that the Irish, you know, like all bets are off kind of deal. But right now, my guess for this prospect from Arizona, currently at IMG, I think that he ends up elsewhere, but we'll see. Darren Akinabon, Hillside, New Jersey defensive end, was on campus, and he is considered a Georgia lean. That's still probably my guess right now. Good visit. Notre Dame would love to have him. They're very picky right now for defensive linemen that they're continuing to recruit on top of what they have. But a Kinnabong would be one that they would like. But not, I don't think either of us have been able to talk. I haven't talked to him yet. I don't know if you've been able to talk to Kinnabong since his visit. But, yeah, that's kind of the rundown on him. And then we'll move over to a 2026 prospect from Michigan, Gregory Patrick, top 100 overall player. Kyle, I know you were pretty impressed with him when you got to talk to him.
Yeah, he was pretty impressed with Notre Dame. Visited Notre Dame 3 times before he got back to campus this March after Notre Dame offered him on Pot of Gold Day. So he's visited Notre Dame 4 times, and I don't think he's visited any other school more. I think maybe Michigan State might have the edge there. He's a Michigan State legacy, I believe, so that's something to watch. But he's really high. Really high on Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is a top 3 school for him right now. One thing that stuck out to me that he said in our interview is he wants to get back down to campus in April with the rest of his family and or his coaching staff at his high school, which is in the Kalamazoo area, just about an hour or two north of South Bend. So he's pretty close to campus there. And I think, Mike, as you know, anytime, you know, a recruit's talking about making a second trip in that short amount of time and bringing more people important to them, with them on that next trip, usually that's a pretty good sign. But I did not get the sense that, you know, he was considering a commitment right now. But I think anytime, as you know, Mike, with these offensive linemen, they handle things a little bit different. So would not be surprised to see Patrick come off the board. And if you're an offensive lineman that Notre Dame's recruiting, like, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Like, all these guys want to come play football for Notre Dame. So I don't think Joe Rudolph has got to do a ton of legwork in a lot of these recruitments, because Just, you know, even Patrick is one guy that told me right away, just, you know, their reputation speaks for itself. So I think this could be one guy racing to claim his spot in the 26 class. And he's a guy that I think Notre Dame's got a really good shot with.
All right, moving along, Troy Hunn from Southern California. He is it's an interesting one because so much of our talk has been about Noah Grubbs and Brady Hart with regards to you know, where the Irish are at, you know, with 26 quarterback recruits. But Hunn was on campus Wednesday. I wrote the article. I have not been able to proofread it and hit publish. I will do that soon after the show today, so you could check out what Hunn had to say about the trip at bloomgold.com soon. But the sense was it was a good first visit, but this he is not close to being done with his recruiting process. Whereas, you know, when Grubbs visited, I think that he kind of, because while Grubbs visited last Saturday, and I guess we're kind of just moving into our next topic, which is, you know, just quarterback recruiting in general for the Irish in 2026, which has been a hot topic for us at Blue and Gold. When Grubbs visited, there was a sense for him about Jared Curtis committing to Georgia. That happened while Grubbs was there. And like, oh, like, guys are committing. Like, I really need to think about this. In a perfect world, these kids decide exactly when they want to decide. But oftentimes it's, you know, other quarterbacks, you know, will make their move, domino will fall, and then, you know, kind of forces your hand. And that's actually something that Deuce Knight told me he talked to Noah about, and the Notre Dame staff did as well. Like, you know, the ball's kind of in your court kind of deal. And the ball's going to be in Brady Hart's court when he visits Notre Dame this upcoming Wednesday, I believe it is. The four-star quarterback from, you know, Cocoa, Florida, or Cocoa High School. So, yeah, he's another impressive player, four-star prospect, number nine quarterback in America. Grubbs is number 10. Oh, this is all per the on-three injury ranking, and then you got Hunt is 5. It's a really good quarterback class in 2026. Notre Dame really can't go wrong with a lot of these guys. My gut remains to be that Notre Dame's going to end up landing Hart. It's the guy I logged the prediction for a couple weeks ago. And, I'm rolling with the Irish to land him. Grubbs, though, very well may be the guy. I could absolutely be wrong here, and it could end up being Grubbs. My sources believe that as well. But, you know, Notre Dame is very, very happy with its 2026 quarterback board and where things stand. But, you know, there's a scenario where Grubbs ends up at, you know, getting Bama. I think he's at Bama right now, maybe. Maybe he gets the Bama offer and he wants to go there. Or, you know, I've been told to watch out for Michigan for Noah Grubbs. So there's a scenario where Grubbs ends up elsewhere. Then Hart, his parents both went to Florida. So he could end up with the Gators, or he could take his recruitment farther, you know, down the line than Notre Dame's comfortable with. And then the Irish are in a good spot because they have Brady Schmeigel on the board. They have Troy Hunt, who we just talked about. You know, Ryder Lyons is still out there. So I think that Notre Dame's done a pretty good job building out this 2026 board.
And I'll stick with my point from last week. I just don't really see a whole lot of urgency for a commitment at this rate. And if I'm one of these guys, I probably want to see how some of these teams play this season. You know, Michigan's, now granted they elevated Sharon Moore, the offense should be the same, but it's a whole new regime there, new starting quarterback. I mean, Notre Dame, brand new offense, brand new quarterback. Alabama, they got a new quarterback and obviously a new offense down there. Who knows what's going to happen in Florida with Billy Napier? You know, is he going to survive this season? So there are a lot of moving parts with a lot of these teams. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these guys start locking up their spots, because these are some coveted, you know, coveted vacancies that these teams have at the 26 quarterback spot. But you know, as I did say, I don't, if I'm one of these recruits, I don't know if I'm going to be racing to commit before my junior season.
And that's fine, but you know, then you might have to just end up picking UCF. You know, like if you're okay rolling the dice, then you know you might end up at a school that you was not your first or second or even third choice. So, you know, it's just a risk that you got to roll with, which is very wise for recruits to pick a school based that you could, like, you would want to go if you're just a student, right? You could get hurt the first day of practice, then what? Or your coaches can change, right? You gotta love the school. What I think is very important, you know, Steve Angeli is on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Heck, the tight ends, this is another new tight end coach, McNulty Parker's there for a couple of years, but then Denbrock, like three, Joe Alt had a new offensive line coach every year. I mean, it just keeps, like, some of these spots, it just new. So you gotta love the school that you're at. You gotta love that culture, because coaches can change. And I think that's something that recruits know. But you know, actually putting it into practice, it can be a whole different discussion. Because you know, a lot of them just don't believe that their coach would leave. And then what happens? They end up leaving. So that's it for quarterback talk. I still like the Irish Land Brady Hart, but I really could see it being Grubbs. And then, yeah, there's the others as well. So, yeah, Matt just posted a super chat. How Grubbs versus Hart, are their games similar? How's those recruitments going? Yeah, so that just kind of broke down the recruiting process for both of them. Hart, you know, Florida's one to watch, and he's got a few other spring visits scheduled. And Grubbs, yeah, I think Notre Dame, Michigan. Now Ohio State, Bama, if Bama offers, that's one to watch. But I think the Irish are definitely out in front for Hart. Their games similar? Yes, I think so. They're both really good pocket passers. They're both tall. Hart's 6'5". You know, Grubbs is solid 6'4". You know, Hart's a little bit leaner right now. Both move well, really good in the pocket, just like really solid modern day quarterbacks. Certainly, you know, among the top 10 in the country.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, I mean, both these guys, bigger guys. And I think that's what Notre Dame's been going after lately at quarterback. Guys that are well over 6 foot, 6'2". So I just want to, you know, bring up their stats. Both guys playing Florida, Mike. I don't know if you know the classifications that they play in by chance.
Yeah, I know they the classifications changed since I lived in Florida. He should just be us 1 through 7, but now there's like 2M. I don't know what the heck 2M means. I think Brady Hart's team's 2M, but they're long way to say they're both high classifications in Florida, like big populations for those high schools.
So we'll call it comparable competition.
Yes.
I'll start with Grubbs. So last year in 12 games, he completed about 58% of his passes for 3,670 yards, 49 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. He's not much of a rushing quarterback, only 14 carries for 8 yards, but did punch it in the end zone 4 times. So sounds like that Lake Mary offense, they'd like to use him closer to the goal line there and get him in the end zone. As for Hart, he led his team to a state championship, 15 games, completed 65% of his passes for 3,759 yards, 41 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You know, pretty comparable rushing stats. I mean, 44 carries, 2 yards. So I don't think either of these guys are like your Riley Leonard that are going to be real dangerous with their legs. I think you're probably looking at two guys that are more traditional quarterbacks. But, I mean, those guys, both sophomores there in Florida. I mean, Mike, you know that competition down there. That's to have those stats against, you know, some really quality teams are are pretty encouraging.
All right. We just had a little breaking news on the side. Clarence Lewis has entered the portal. Is that a surprise? That's a surprise, right?
Yes, because Benjamin Morrison just had shoulder surgery. So, you know, yeah, when he does return, like, is he going to be back? That's, you know, as we learned all too well with Cam Hart, you know, those shoulder injuries can be nagging for sure. I think we all expect Benjamin Morrison to be at full strength by the time week one rolls around. But still, I mean, and then, you know, you have a battle at that second cornerback spot with Mickey and Christian Gray. And then at nickel, yeah, it's Jordan Clark that probably has that position locked down. But, I mean, Clarence Lewis, although, you know, he did have some tough games earlier in his Notre Dame career, he's a pretty valuable part to that defensive backfield. So I can't imagine this is a guy that Notre Dame's, you know, going to be able to sleep easy at night about leaving, because I think he was a really valuable part to that defensive backfield.
Yeah, I'm with you. This, you know, I really hate this comment. C-Lou, more like C-Lou. Like, I think it's terrible. Like, I think it was actually like a really solid, you know, the piece of that defensive backfield. You know, here, let's pull the scholarship chart. I mean, you just Morrison has his shoulder. Chance Tucker's not, you know, hasn't really come together as a player yet for Notre Dame. You got Clark is a nickel. You know, like, it's Gray is a solid player. Obviously, it's not like it's a super deep corner room right now. Yeah, who knows when Morrison's going to be back? And Notre Dame likes to rotate their corners. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy with nickel experience with outside. And I don't know. I don't like the jokes, but anyways. So it's an interesting move here for Lewis, especially with the timing of the Morrison injury. I don't think we're shocked that Lewis hit the portal. I think it's more the timing. Is and when is the portal open? I think it's April 15th, but he's a grad transfer, so he can do it whenever. I think that's the rule, correct?
Yeah, so I don't know if he's a grad. I mean, I can imagine he is.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah, grad transfers can hit at any time, and then I think sometime in April there's like a 14-day window that opens up.
Okay, so that's that. Yeah, Rip Jules. Yeah, all good, all good, dude. Anywho, did want to wrap up with one more topic of discussion here, Javon Boggs. Decommitted from Ohio State. Notre Dame had offered him, I want to say, about a month ago. And he's committed to the Buckeyes. And the feeling was, hey, if Notre Dame gets Brady Hart, hey, maybe the Irish can flip this young man. Well, now he's just decommitted from Ohio State, just opened up his recruitment altogether already. So hold on. I need to respond to Jack Sobel and just tell him, hold on, guys. Hold on. Give me a second. No, we are doing a show. Sorry, guys. We are a lot of different things happening at once. So Boggs, and I wrote this at Blue and Gold this week. Boggs told me that he is not visiting with Brady Hart. That was being discussed, but he's looking to get to South Bend soon. So it would be really interesting if Brady Hart does commit to Notre Dame, and then, you know, his first phone call. Or maybe it's not even a phone call. It's just seeing Boggs, you know, at the Cocoa High School hallways, just trying to get his buddy to join him at Notre Dame. Yeah, Florida is definitely a factor, and had been for a little while. He's visiting Georgia this weekend. That's definitely notable. So Florida, Georgia, and I know there's a few other teams that Missouri, I believe, was one that, you know, Boggs has been communicating a lot with. But there's something about Notre Dame here that I think that the Irish are going to become a pretty big contender here. If they're able to get Brady Hart, I mean, look, Boggs was named Mr. High School or Mr. Football, excuse me, in the state of Florida by an outlet. He had a tremendous junior season. I mean, just put up some bonkers numbers. I don't have it in front of me. Javon Boggs, potential visitor for Notre Dame, Ohio State decommit, and one to keep an eye on. Just wanted to cover Boggs in that news before we signed off today's show. So, Kyle, anything else that you'd want to add before we end the show?
Well, I had Brady Hart's stats handy. So as a Coco player, I was able to bring up Javon Boggs' stats up pretty easily as well. So last year, he caught 93 passes for damn near 1,500 yards and 23 touchdowns.
That's insane.
Is that good?
That's pretty darn good. Again, in good ball too in the Sunshine State. That's going to wrap up today's show. If you're just joining us, we started the show talking about Anthony Sacka. He's announcing a commitment tomorrow. He's got Notre Dame, Bama, Ohio State, Duke, Wisconsin on his final five list. We talked about some midweek visitors, and then we talked about Notre Dame quarterback recruiting in the 2026 class. So we're going to sign off today's show right there, folks. Really appreciate you tuning in. We will be back next Friday. Thank you all for watching, and as always, we will catch you next time.